Hey, you guys, when's the last time you went and looked for a new computer rig to play your video games on? Well, if it's been a while or you've been building them yourself and you're just tired of it, I know where you can get a great deal and a special offer. Go to DoghouseSystems.com and get the best gaming rigs I've ever used. I love mine. I use it every day. It's all I game on. Consoles? Who needs them? I have a Doghouse system. And you could, too. And if you use the code FROGPANTS at checkout, you get a free 500-gig SSD drive. 500 gigabytes of SSD storage for free. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com right now and use that code FROGPANTS at checkout for 500 gigs.
This is the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back or to The Instance. It is Friday, October 2nd, 2020. We are back with a brand new show. The show's not delayed, but the game we talk most about surely is. We'll get to that in a minute. For that, though, welcome to the show, Mr. Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
As the great poet Mark Hoppus once said, we are the kings of the weekend.
We truly are. And here we are to begin it. Hopefully, we're the beginning of many great weekends. Y'all going to play WoW this weekend? Are you going to play it even though you're like, oh, man, I'm not getting my game as soon as I wanted? Like, how do you feel?
I am not, Scott. I can tell. I'm going to tell you bold-faced truth right now. I'm not playing WoW this weekend. Star Wars Squadrons is out and Warcraft ain't got jack shit going on.
Oh, I forgot that was today. That means you went and bought, well, I guess you can get it on, well, where do you have to get that if you're playing on PC? You got to go to Epic?
I think it's available like everywhere. I know Steam? It's on Steam.
Oh, it's on Steam, is it?
And this is not smack talk about Warcraft. They'll get there when they get there.
Yeah,
like, they'll get there. Like, it's fine. You can play other games, people. It's totally fine. It's healthy. I recommend it.
Sure.
It's, I'm not a doctor, but it is Garrett recommended.
Some people somewhere are playing BFA right now and having a ball. And I am hats off to those people, except I'm not taking my hat off. I'm leaving on.
I'm just, yeah, it's fine. I'm just personally done. I'm ready for new things.
Me too. Let's do it. But we're going to wait a bit and we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, these side quests. All right. We have some news from the Diablo 4 team this week. I want to get this one out of the way early. They laid out some details of their quarterly update or in their quarterly update. They've been doing this thing now for what's been three quarters. Whatever it is, it feels like about three updates or so, and they tend to lay out a bunch of
number three. Yeah,
exactly. They'll lay out a bunch of system stuff and talk about, you know, changes they've made in the last time that we spoke and that sort of thing. And really, it's the other big game that Blizzard's working on that everyone's kind of got their eye on right now. Sorry, Overwatch 2 people, that game's coming too, but no one's really talking about it. So we thought we'd bring it up here. This update seems to focus mainly on big changes to itemization in the game. Legendary item power, class power balances, that sort of stuff. And they talk a little bit about end game progression. We're not going to get into all those details. This is not a Diablo focused show, but I wanted to talk about one big noticeable change is the structure of the talent tree. It's very different than what we've seen previously from Blizzard. What we saw at BlizzCon in particular was a very traditional Blizzard thing, which was sort of long rectangle UI interface with some squares and boxes that when you tick, they branch to another box and you can maybe tick those and some beneath those. And then, you know, kind of your traditional, even all the way back to the second game in the series, Diablo 2 had a very similar structure. Diablo 3, the way it worked with runes was not that different than that. What we have now looks a lot like, to some of you, I don't know, Path of Exile players out there, this might look like a like something you're used to. I think it looks like kind of a holy mess at the moment, and I'm a little not super stoked about the complexity of it. They went out of their way to state this is not final, that this is very much alpha. In fact, in big, fat, bold words at the bottom of this graphic, it says pre-alpha in development content, and then in all caps, not final! So they want you to know that this is not final, but Garrett, look at these trees. Like, are you...
I mean, it's a literal tree.
It is a tree.
It's literally a tree.
Yeah. It's a little bonkers if you're asking me, I think.
I see where you're coming from, Scott.
Yeah.
And as someone who spent 4 years getting a degree in art and spending a decent amount of that time with, you know, graphic design and making things legible and putting a lot of emphasis and care into making sure alignment and sizing and spacing and all of those things makes for an enjoyable viewing experience. Mm. I want to throw all of that out the window and just say that I weirdly like this, even though it breaks every rule about legible design known to man.
Well, like, I mean, look, the primevals are chaotic. Why not be a little chaotic with your talent tree?
It's messy in a way that I like. Mm. Like, I don't know. I kind of dig it, man.
I need to see it in actual functioning, working. This is once again going to be a thing, unless they change something drastically about it, where you're never going to go by just your instincts. You're going to go look up a guide and go, well, what are we min-maxing this week? And what do I choose on this tree now? And I hate that. I wish there was more, and maybe it's impossible. Video games are this way. Everyone min-maxes no matter how simple or complicated your talent tree is. But I don't know. I just wish it was more like, oh, yeah, look at that tree. I'm going down that branch. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Like right now, looking at that chat room, you can see it. People at home are going to have to look this up. But none of that tells me anything. That just says some of the bluer stuff's probably magic. I'm guessing fire's involved with the orange ones. And maybe that one's lightning. I don't know. And there'll be tooltips and all that. So it's too early to say. And I'm trying not to judge too harshly this early. But it's a little chaotic. And you like it. You're into it.
I kind of dig it. Yeah, it looks like an overly complex board game from the 90s, and I'm kind of into that energy.
Well, I got good news for you.
If I don't know, I don't want to get lost in the weeds of all of the different types of players that are out there, but because you know we try and speak generally for the speed of conversation, but you know, not everyone plays the min max.
No.
I think it was 2 weeks ago we were talking about something. Man, I think it was even further along. Anyway. A previous episode of the Hero Show I was doing with Kyle, Kyle said, and I thought this was one of the most brilliant things this man has ever uttered. We were talking about min-maxing and the concept of value. And Kyle, you know, broke out of Heroes of the Storm for a second to say, something dies in a card game player the day that they learn about the concept of value. I was like, damn, man, that's deep.
That is deep.
And I think he's right. Not everyone needs to play Diablo to min-max. That's not why I play Diablo.
Right. It's also why I don't play, when I do play, CCGs or card games or whatever, Battlegrounds and Hearthstone, I'm less concerned about what the meta is. And I just want to have a good time. If I'm having a good time, I'm okay. So I'm one of those people that doesn't care as much about meta, but I'm also one of those people that in the back of my head, there's a little voice whispering to me the whole time that maybe I'm doing it wrong. You know what I mean? So there's always just like this, well, what if you went down the other tree, Scott? What if you picked this other thing? What if that thing you picked is wrong? I hear then that voice, Scott, a lot.
Then there's to do it. Go respect. Try something different. I'm sure you can do that.
We do live we live in the time of respect. So it's not like we're, you know, this isn't Diablo 2 in the early days where you locked in and you were done. And some people loved that and still love that, even though that game patched that out not even that many years ago. But for the longest time, yeah, Diablo 2, your choices were in stone. This looks like not so much. We live in a modern era of games where that doesn't happen, and you'll figure it out. But yeah, there's a little bit of FOMO. You're not wrong. Fate Descent. It's FOMO. It's a little fear of missing out going on where you're just not sure. Somebody else might be doing this better, and you are tempted now. In this world of all the information's at our fingertips, you're tempted to go, well, I'll just hop on Reddit and see what everybody's building right now for their wizard or for their mage or for their whatever.
And that's okay, too.
That's also okay.
If that's how you like to play your game.
Right.
That's okay.
We accept all kinds here at the Instance.
2020, by the way, the year with the fewest instances of FOMO occurring.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of FOMO this year for anything.
All virtual. All virtual FOMO.
All our FOMO is for fake worlds that don't actually exist, and I think I'm all right with that.
I am down.
Garrett, tell me about what's going on with Conduits, because I'm confused about them.
Well, Blizzard's trying to fix that because the WoW devs gave a bit of an official explainer for how conduits work in Shadowlands for those who may be a little confused like you, Scott. And here's what they said. They said that conduits are items and they have item levels like other loot that you will see in Shadowlands. Currently in the beta, Heroic Dungeon loot is item level 171 and normal difficulty Castle Nathria, which is going to be the first raid, is dropping eye level 200 gear. like other loot, the higher the conduit's item level in general, the more powerful its effect is going to be. Mm-hmm. Also, conduits can come from many sources, including dungeon bosses, raid bosses, the PvP vendor, if you can find them, and world quests and content via callings. Conduits go into a collection, making it unnecessary to repeatedly earn individual conduits at a given item level.
You can see why I'm confused, right? I mean, it's just so far, their own language is a little bit like, you know.
It is.
It's a little confusing. Yeah. I mean, keep going, but I think I have a theory at the end as to what I'm to take away.
Okay. And then, you know, they said conduits drop as personal loot. They are class-based, so they don't differ based on your active spec or your loot spec. They also, they're also additive in terms of the loot drops. So they're not replacing an item that a boss might have otherwise dropped. Mm. So if like you're not excited about conduits and you get one, you're like, no, I wanted these sweet boots. It didn't replace the boots. If you didn't get the boots, they were never going to drop in the first place.
Got it. That's good to know.
And yeah, and finally, they're not tradable.
Okay. So here's the thing. And they're going to be big upgrades, and it's going to be like any other item. You know, you'll go to town. What is it called? The Forge of Bonds is where you go. You rush to these after you get them, and then you enjoy your sweet new upgrade. It sounds to me like it's just other gear. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
because that's kind of all you're doing.
It's a little, you know, a little glyphish.
A little glyphy.
You know, it's like slots for your soul bind.
There you go.
It's kind of the way I've put it away in my head. Like, that's, it's an additional layer. It's not the meat of soulbind customization, because each of your soulbinds has a unique talent tree, very much in the way that we are used to talent trees in World of Warcraft, not the crazy Diablo one we just talked about.
Right.
Relics. Yeah, relics. It's artifact relics.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like this extra little more, that's what I'm looking for. Busy, you know, kind of micromanagey customization. You know?
Yeah.
Think gem slots, not talents.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because there's work you got to do. It's not just put them on. It's not just, oh, it fell, I'll now wear it. You know, there's more to it. And that's fine. People like that kind of stuff. It's a special kind of drop, and they're meaningful. Hopefully, at least that's what they're saying. And you can, you know, you got to go to a place, and it sounds cool. Forge of Bonds. Ooh, right? And then you forge your bond with it. And then you walk out of there going, yeah, I did some work here. I only not only ran that raid and got my thing, or did that hero, or that mythic plus 14 or whatever. And now I'm got this conduit, and I had to go talk to a dude. And now I'm better now. So that's cool. That's what they're aiming for, I guess.
Forge of Bonds is actually what we used to call the playground in elementary school.
The Forge of Bonds. Nice. How many bonds did you forage in said playground? Did it work out?
I feel like I got like three friends I still keep in touch with.
Okay. That's not bad. Yeah. From elementary. Yeah. Jeez, I don't talk to anybody from elementary school.
That's what happens when you go to Catholic school and you're stuck together for like 11 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you had to go. That'll happen. Yeah.
You'll never see me in a blue polo again. Never see me in a polo again.
No polos? Really?
No polos. Absolute most detested item of clothing on earth.
We should make you a polos. T-shirt that says no polos in giant blocky text.
And if you could read it like Edna from The Incredibles, that would be great.
That'd be great. Yeah, that sounds good to me. All right, there's that. Not a lot else going on this week, except this. Well, this is fairly massive if you were really, really looking forward to playing the game in its original October release. In fact, we have just now entered that new month, and I can say I was personally pretty stoked to be inching closer and closer to Shadowlands' actual release. Well, John Haidt took to the community and to an official news post and forum post and informed everybody right off the bat that they're delaying Shadowlands to later this year. Didn't give a date. We don't know what that means. Could be November. Could be December. My guess is if you delay something, you want more than just 30 days. So if I was to guess, mid to end December right now is where my head's at. We'll talk about our predictions in a second, but this is what he said. And if you don't know who John Haidt is, he is often up on the Q&A stage every year for a while. So you've seen his face before. He is head of that entire team, basically oversees everything. And this is what he said. To the WoW community, I wanted to let you know that we are delaying the release of Shadowlands to later this year. And while we're still in the process of determining the right new date to launch, we felt it was important to let you know about this change in plans as soon as we could. This was an incredibly difficult decision for the team, as we're eager to get the expansion into your hands and that you are able to play it. But ultimately, we feel like it was the right decision for the game and for our players. Goes on to say that over the last few months of testing, they made significant progress iterating and polishing on core features of the gameplay. As he says, we're at a point where the zones, the campaign, the level up quest experience, and the story that we have to tell are essentially ready to share. We're excited by the Covenants, by the Covenants at the Heart of the War expansion. I don't always keep saying Heart of War, Heart of the expansion. And it's been a thrill to see Torghast take shape into a fun new way of playing WoW. Thanks no small part to you guys and your input. But basically, they go on to say that they're just looking to polish and they want to take the time it needs to do it. They say they have a commitment to quality. We believe Shadowlands will be something special. And we've heard from many of you who feel the same. We need this extra time to ensure that Shadowlands lives up to its full potential. Okay, there's the bad news, or the delay news. I see it as good news, or just...
I do too.
Not a big deal. I mean, I want it sooner. Everyone does, but I would rather them get it right. Like always, every video game... hello, world of video games. All of you, take your time to make it right, because I don't want broken shit on day one. And Blizzard hates doing that, even now, you know, when there's more pressure to do that from... They're Activision overlords than there used to be, but clearly they're a company that still values, a polished finished product. Here's the good news, though, that came out of this. It says, in the meantime, we're excited to announce that beginning October 13th, so that's in 11 days, we will be releasing the Shadowlands pre-patch, which lays a lot of the groundwork for the expansion and includes our revamped character leveling, new player experience on Exile's Reach, and a host of new character customization options, stuff we talked about last week. And once we get closer to Shadowlands release, you'll be called upon to defend Azeroth against a resurgence of the Scourge during their pre-launch event. So the event's still scheduled for later. Pre-patch coming sooner than we thought. He says, thanks for your support and passion and for your continued help and feedback as we head toward the finish line. I'm legit excited about the 13th because what I really... I've said this on the show a bunch of times. Leading up to this, there are two things I'm most excited about. They may surprise me with other stuff, but what I'm most excited about is that new player experience and the new leveling experience. I want to make alts. I want to start fresh. I want to experience complete storylines again. I want that. I'm for whatever reason, I'm itching for that experience. A lot of people are getting that out of vanilla. I don't want to do it in vanilla. I want to do it here. And so that's going to happen for me. Having that up and ready to go is pretty rad, and being able to do the things to the characters we want to do and creating them adds to that experience. So this for a lot of people is a very glass half empty kind of thing. I see it as slightly fuller than half because I wasn't expecting a October 13th pre-patch, nor was I expecting to be able to start a new character then and go for it. And that's what really? I'm going to do. Oh yeah. I'm stoked.
I was expecting it this week.
Well, oh really? You were expecting it sooner.
Yeah.
When did they last say they were doing the pre-patch, or did they ever say?
No, we never got a date. We never got a hard date.
Oh, that's
but
right.
But if the expansion was supposed to come out in October, it would make sense that the pre-patch would happen in early October. Not to mention we had the lead-up of the Afterlife shorts, like 4 weeks, week after week in a row.
I think part of it is I forgot what I was excited about.
Oh, and then on top of it, Scott, we got the friggin' full CG looking jailer face on the PC Gamer cover, and it's like, oh shit, a new cinematic is on the way. Why would they be showing this if not a new cinematic? And so, like, when you go, oh, October 13th is sooner than I imagined, I go, like, really?
Yeah, I guess in light of the delay, the 13th sounds good to me. You know what I mean?
Well, now it sounds great. Like at first, that was this week before the delay was officially announced and it didn't look like we were getting the pre-patch. I'm like, oh God, we're not going to have like any time to play around with the pre-patch. And so now that the game's been pushed now, yeah, you're absolutely right. October 13th, it feels, even though we don't know when the expansion's releasing now, we went from not knowing when pre-patch was dropping, but knowing when the expansion comes to the opposite. Now we know when pre-patch is coming. And we have no clue when the expansion is going to drop.
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's like, it's backwards, sure.
Yeah. It's pretty absurd in that way. But now it seems like we're going to have more time than we originally thought we were going to have with the pre-patch.
Yeah. And again, because this new character experience is ready to rock, this isn't a normal pre-patch where it's like, oh, the changes to your class and a few tweaks and these are off the global cooldown. And that's usually what all you look forward to with these things. And then an event or whatever. Instead, this is, to me, this is like a huge portion of why I'm getting Shadowlands. Like, and I'm going to get it early, and I'm pretty stoked. So anyway, save the date. The 13th is when it is. I thought we could talk a little bit about what maybe affected this this push. And I got to think maybe remote work probably had an effect. They're still not filling those offices over there in Irvine, so...
Yeah, it seems like the simplest explanation, right? I mean, there's been so much discussion within the community, especially the YouTube community, about feeling like Shadowlands needs to get delayed, whether you agree with that or not. And I'm just not so sure that had played as much of a role as I think the community thinks it did, because, yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, you and I both have friends that work for Blizzard, and I've heard from a few of them. They're like, yeah, we had to, like, take our work rigs home. Like a lot of the animators and whatnot, they don't have rigs at home that are as powerful as the ones at work. And it's a whole new experience for them.
Yeah. Plus workflow. You've had
campus tours before, right?
Oh yeah, sure.
It's so inclusive. What's the word I'm looking for here? Like every team has their own building or almost their own floor within buildings. And it's just like, you can tell
collaboration
very
is
much
happening.
A team unit.
Yeah. It's happening right there. Like everybody's you are over to the other dude's desk going, hold on. We've had some discussion. We think maybe, bah, 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 bah. Okay, cool. And blah, blah, blah. So yes, some of those things can be done remotely, and all of this stuff can be possible or whatever, but you really did ask for a sudden halting change to your workflow. And there had to have been a transition of just people getting used to that. I mean, I'm just thinking of coders alone. They've got to contribute builds to the same repository, and that repository goes out to a final test build, and that test build goes somewhere else. And it used to be you controlled all that traffic on your internal networks. And
yeah, there's a huge security implications in everything you just described, going from a local hub to everyone working remotely on things that should be kept secret.
Right.
And having that accessible to everyone that needs to have access to that material. Like there's a lot of angles that I don't feel gets talked about. Cause like people are joking in the chat room. Like it makes sense. Like, Hey Blizzard, you guys have internet, right? Like, yeah, that's funny. Haha. But like at the same time, like there's big tech, like very specific technical concerns, but also it is just a big change of habit for these teams. Like, I've worked from home since January of 2016 is how long I've been working for myself from a home office. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big proponent of working remotely, but I don't expect teams of, 50 to hundreds of people to just like have that plug pulled and just be like, oh yeah, this will go so smoothly and nothing will slow down at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also this other thing happens where, so I've been doing it since 2009, and I remember the first thing that happened to me was I looked at my schedule differently and went, well, wait a minute, now my day job is this, and it's eight hours, right? But not really. Like I'll go as long as I need to, because I don't have somebody yelling at me. And even though these guys have bosses, and even though there's management and middle management and certain rules and all of that, and I don't know what all of them are within Blizzard, but it's just a different dynamic. You're not commuting to a thing, doing a thing, and then leaving. You're just sort of always doing that thing. And I don't think you can stress enough the security issues. Video games, the industry itself is so prone to leak problems, and they really fight against having leak problems. They have incredibly tight security when it comes to their network infrastructure. And I'm sure they had to deploy all sorts of VPN solutions and what, I don't know what all, just to make that work at some base level of security. And then on top of all of that, you have all the creative concerns about, our desks used to be together, but now we're just hearing each other on this stupid Zoom call. And also your Wi-Fi is down for some reason. And I guess I can't contribute that stuff to this repository tonight because the internet's down and we don't know why. Well, there's a fire over the hill and we might get evacuated. Like, I'm just throwing out hypotheticals here, but they're pretty real ones. And like
Scott,
everything
you missed
in life,
the most obvious one that definitely doesn't happen to me on an almost daily basis, which is the dog just threw up.
Yeah, right, dude. The dog just bit dog barf this morning. Thankfully, I don't work at Blizzard, and it didn't contribute to the delay of Shadowlands. But
yeah. So I have to imagine that's a part of it. But also, I mean, John Hite literally mentions polish and balance, and so doesn't get specific. I think that's by design. I think this messaging probably was looked over with a fine tooth comb because they don't want to overpromise.
Right.
But I'm sure there's just a real concern that some of the pieces of Shadowlands are not as successful as the team would hope.
Yeah. And also at the end of BFA, I really believe this, no one is more tuned in to the problems that that expansion experienced, especially in the older it got. Nobody wants to do right and do well with Shadowlands more, I think, than that team. They're ready to truly do something special for the franchise.
I want to tease you and say, no, Scott, I think the Diablo team actually cares more about WoW success than the WoW's.
They do. They made a giant burning tree of Tedrasil or whatever. And
oh, that's what happened. That's where Tedrasil is being repurposed.
Yeah. Or as I always say, Tedrasil, because I can't stop doing it.
Tedrasil? Forget the L?
Yeah, Ted for sure.
Well, the first L, I guess. There's more than one L.
It's the Ted tree. It's the Ted tree. Every time Sylvanas talks about it, she's doing a TED talk.
Thank you for coming to my TED tree talk.
Exactly. It's all TED talks. Anyway, also, I wonder if this has anything to do with avoiding crunch. There's a lot of talk about that lately. In fact, this is unrelated to Blizzard, but a lot of criticism being thrown.
That's a hot button issue we have not really been talking about this year.
No, especially not with Blizzard. But CD Projekt Red just put out a memo was leaked. Again, something got leaked where internally they told everybody, hey, it's crunch time. Do crunch. Spend all your hours. We have to release freaking Cyberpunk in less than a month or whatever it is. Go, go, go. All hands on deck, whatever. And this is the same company whose founder a year ago told a prominent media outlet that they were working on stuff to eliminate crunch within the company. And we had a gigantic discussion about that in particular on Core this week. I recommend people checking that out. I won't get into any of the depth I did there, but I don't know how you truly at the end of the day avoid crunch at any company of any industry. They all do it. I worked for a company that made computer cables for a long time, and there were times where we had some crucial presentation that kept me up till 6 a.m. the next day, and then I worked the whole next day. That's crunch. Plenty of people where, you know, you have a manufacturing line go down, and then everyone has to stay there until it's fixed and up and running and your production is back up to normal levels. That's crunch. Like, crunch happens everywhere. The bigger issue, and we went into this on Core, and I, again, recommend getting it for all the nuance. Go listen to it. But basically, it came down to this. This isn't so much about the need for last minute or we forgot this or problem came up we didn't expect or whatever. Those kinds of crunch-related issues are going to happen. The bigger issue is, how is the company treating their people? Are they treating them well? Are they paying them well for their extra work if they have to do it? Are those employees feeling like they have some agency in that? Is that quality of work-life balance being at least paid attention to by HR departments? And in Blizzard's case, is this them saying, well, we could crunch and really push everybody to their bones, but maybe we don't. Let's buy ourselves a little bit of time. Maybe. It's just another theory about why it maybe got pushed. But the issue of crunch is a fascinating one to me, because it's so easy to simplify it and boil it down to, like, crunch should be eliminated. And they're just, again, forgetting the nuance of, well, what are you even talking about? What do you actually think crunch is? Do you think it's 3 years of them making nothing and then suddenly in the last 2 months they make everything? Well, that's not how it works. You know, there's a lot to be said about it. Anyway, like I said, we talked about it at length on Core. I don't want to repeat it all for those who've heard the other show. And if you don't listen to that show, you should. We have really great in-depth video game discussions on that show about the industry as a whole and about that CD Projekt Red deal and all that. So go check that out. But maybe, Garrett, maybe they want to, you know, maybe this is them saying, all right, well, we could kill ourselves, but let's maybe spread it out a couple of months and not kill ourselves.
Well, I mean, they're not saying it at all. Like, there's no mention of crunch in this. I would like to, you know, just like point out.
Yeah, that's a good point. They didn't actually say any of the stuff I said, but.
But I mean, it elicits the same thought in me as well, because I remember the coverage of that CD Projekt Red leak that you were talking about.
Right.
And so, yeah, it is such a deep well of a topic.
Yeah, you can go pretty far with it. My main takeaway from the other night was, it's how you manage the crunch, not that you have it, because sometimes you have it and you can't help it. But how are you as a company equipped? What do you plan for? Like, how do you, since you know that's going to be a thing, are your employees well taken care of during that? Are you doing the best for them that you can? Are they getting the right kind of time off that they would need to counter that sort of thing? Like, just all those kinds of things. And because they're non-unionized and the industry is known for sort of cutting people loose, even with successful projects out, you know, they don't have the best reputation. And it's still relatively young industry compared to, I don't know, the world of automotive, you know, manufacturing or whatever. So
yeah. I mean, it's a realism of the economy we live in. But yeah, it's like you're starting to hit on the interesting part for me, which is like how much of it is an opt-in as opposed to a forced in. Like how much are they forcing it upon their employees with no additional pay or perks, right?
Right.
Because, yeah, I'm the kind of person that I don't, when I think of crunch and what it looks like in my own life with my own work, it's not a thing that I necessarily look at as a negative, but that's because I am self-employed.
Right.
Like, if I want extra money, Scott, I just work more.
Right.
I take on more contracts and it drains me, but yeah. There are times where
I do the same.
I, you know, there's too many good, I'm lucky enough to have too many good things come across my plate. Yeah. But that's not always the case. That's not always the behavior when you're working under a boss or a corporation.
Yeah. Daniel J. Newman in the chat says hire contract workers. Duh. No, if you think they don't already, you're not following.
Yeah.
Along.
Yeah. Have you seen how many names are in the credits for a Blizzard game? Like
that's a lot of in fact, I'm guessing more individual people as contract workers on an expansion of WoW than actual people in the company. Maybe they're just pure numbers wise. So no, we know that. We know about the contractors and that's also another issue. Like what are those situations like? How are they being treated as contractors? And I don't mean individuals necessarily, but an entire company, their whole thing is to provide contract work for companies like Blizzard. It's just my main point is it's complicated. It is not just simple. Don't crunch or crunch is fine. There's a million little nuances all dancing around and they're having a party. So
yep. Enjoy. And stuff that is even outside of CD Projekt Red is on my mind because of like Dreamhaven's verbiage in their messages. Mm-hmm. It kind of seemed like they want to get away from that, but like, let's see how realistic that is if they actually can.
Even for them where they're self-funding it. And in theory that affords them that opportunity. But like you said, let's see. Right. We'll have to see. One quick email that sort of applied to all of this. I wanted to read real quick from Korgal on AIE Libertas on Earthen Ring. Part of our extensive guild says, "Hi, Instance Crew. Just heard about the WoW Shadowlands delay. This is going to affect me in a huge way. I work as a home theater salesperson at Best Buy and was planning on taking a week off as paid time off for the Shadowlands launch. With the delay, I can no longer take that time off because working retail, I cannot take off the months of November and December because of the holidays. Another bad thing is I will now lose that PTO because my restart date for the next PTO starts on November 10th. So his paid vacation goes away and resets for the next year. Does this affect any of you at all, either in your work or personal life? Thanks a lot. Korgal. Well, Korgal, that's an interesting perspective. I'm sure there's some people, there's got to be other people who are in a similar situation, but it's kind of a timing problem, right? Like,
yeah.
You know,
everyone's different, right?
Yeah.
Like this is very bad for Korgal because of working in retail, Best Buy specifically.
I'd still take like, that paid time off is what I'd do. I'd just take it. You're not going to have WoW. Well, you will have WoW.
I mean, if we want to give some advice to Korgal here, just use it. Cash it in. If you're going to lose it anyway, for love of you, relax, make a pina colada, lay in a hammock out back, level an alt in pre-patch. use it for something.
Yeah,
find something fun to go do.
Something else to do for sure. And don't not take that time. That's all we're.
Yeah.
Our main thing is don't let that lapse. Okay. We want you to be happy and healthy. Oh, there he's in the chat. Sweet, he's taking that time off. That's great.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Well done. Well done. It seemed obvious.
Have fun.
Yeah. Please
enjoy yourself.
Anyway, what do you think about a date? Like if you had to put your, let's say you had $50 and you had to slap it down and say, all right, here's when I believe Blizzard is going to release Shadowlands. What do you say? It's hard, right? Because they just,
if
gave
you've
us
left
no
it open, yeah. if I were them, if I was thinking like someone who had a very big deliverable and I just went through the very painful process of making the hard call on if we're going to not hit our deadline or not. And we could leave it open and we could say we're not going to hit our deadline and we don't have to give a new deadline. I'm taking as much time as I possibly can. So I would think December.
Okay. But you think no way they push into next year? That would be weird, right?
I would be very surprised.
I would be too. We've had a few people on Twitter replies in the last few days say, I think this gives them the opportunity to push it till like March. And I don't think
that
so. I don't think so.
That seems rough. But again, if they do it, like, I don't know. I'm of the mindset, like, do what you need to do to make the game match your vision.
Also, pre-patch. So, like, if you did a pre-patch in October and you were going to release in, let's say, January, that would make no sense to me. Because pre-patch literally is a pre-patch of a thing that's imminent. You know what I mean? So it's got to be sooner than that. And I don't know.
To me, I don't know. Like, I think about like how long we were on friggin' Siege of Orgrimmar at the end of Pandaria. And if they wanted to give us like 3 months of the expansion patch to like work on alts and stuff, that would have been something. It would have been more fun than what we were stuck on, which was the same junk we had been playing for a year.
Mm-hmm. No, so, that's a good point. And I also,
you know, is it ideal? No.
No.
Does it make me more interested in playing World of Warcraft? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to your point earlier, I agree. What time you need to make it right and match your vision, that's what I want.
To me, this is like, I think I was talking to Kyle about it last night. I was like, oh, this feels like a good old fashioned Blizzard delay. It's been a while since we've had one of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least one that was like straight up announced as a delay instead of. Or wait, didn't they delay? There was another thing that was significant. What was that? It wasn't Overwatch. Was it Diablo 3? Something got, we'll have it before the end of the year, and they couldn't do it. Oh, I don't remember.
It was Warcraft 3 or Reforged.
Oh, that was it. That was it. Yeah, it was Reforged, and that didn't help them very much that time.
No, it didn't.
I don't want to get everybody, you know, feeling down about that, what that would mean for Shadowlands. I don't think it means anything. It's a totally different team and focus.
It's completely unrelated as far as I am concerned.
Yeah, we're sorry to have evoked it, though, and made you remember those sore feelings you all have about
it. Hey, there's some people that dig that game. It didn't do much for me.
People who had never played it before seemed to like it just fine. That's what I learned. Is that if you'd never played it before?
I wonder how many of those, for me personally, wanted to rip on it a little bit. I wonder how many of those people played StarCraft 2. Because boy, does that game control so much better.
Oh, it's so much better. Are you kidding me? I'd bet.
That was really just like, that was the killer for me. I was like, oh, this is an exact replica.
Yeah.
Oh. There's better RTS controls now.
Yeah, including its own successor.
That was a real just cut and dry for me.
Yeah.
But whatever the case is. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It wasn't a full price game. Whatever.
It is fine. All right. You're right. It's fine. It's not that big a deal. I mean, now I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. It was a big deal for a lot of people. I'll just say that.
It was fine.
We shall see, because we don't know, but soon we'll know, we hope. Now this. Time for quick. No, they're not called that. Rapid fire questions. I keep wanting to call them quick fire, as if it's 2009 all up in here. It's not. That was 11 years ago. It's rapid fire questions, everybody. Where I
Randy
ask
Jordan, will you can you give Scott your blessing so he can just start saying it? Because I think he's going to call it that anyway.
Maybe I am just going to do that. He probably wouldn't care.
Can we invoke the Randy Jordan?
For me, it was just a courtesy to say, hey, I don't want to steal our old cool name. We'll give it something new. But anyway, we'll see if I keep screwing
that up.
We'll
call it a Quickfire Reforged.
There you go. Quickfire Reforged, delayed indefinitely, and you won't be happy when it comes out. All right. I'm going to ask a series of questions of Garrett, he to me, and they will be quick fire, which means... Well, I already did it. There would be rapid fire, which means we don't have a lot of time to answer. You got to come up with the first thing that comes to your mind. Garrett, are you ready for your questions?
No, but go ahead.
All right, here it is. First one from... These come from you people, by the way. All the people who sent these in, thank you so much. Zazlo, on Whisperin says, Blink-182's Enema of the State or Green Day's Dookie, which album is better and why is it Enema of the State?
It's Dookie.
I agree.
Because without Dookie, we probably wouldn't have Enema of the State.
Tend to agree. No, I don't tend to agree. I completely 100% agree with that.
Also, Dookie's just... I love Enema of the State. Dookie's a better album.
It is a better album. But I also like American Idiot better than Dookie. But that I know I'm not... I may be alone in that. You're close.
It's Alien Aliens. I would rather watch Aliens, but if I'm just talking about like which one is the better film, I think it's Alien. And that's how I feel about Dookie American Idiot. I listen to American Idiot more often, but I think Dookie has more musical value.
Okay. All right. I like that. That's great. Someone says disgusting in the chat. Who is that? Chrissy. Ingsoon on Shadowsong says, what NPC are you hoping to kill in Shadowlands, and why is it Nathanos?
I do not understand the Nathanos hate. I love Nathanos.
I do too. I love to hate him, though.
Garrosh. Because Thrall is a kill-stealing bastard.
Mm, okay. So Garrosh. Well, how do you kill him again, though? We don't know how that works yet, do we?
So many people are already dying again just in the Afterlives trailers, and they haven't explained it. Yeah. They're already dead. They're souls. They're not corporeal things. Yeah. What is happening?
Well, like the bear pod. What he dies again? Or I don't know how that works. There's more
like really dead this time.
Yeah, super dead.
Super dead.
So
as
dead.
Boogie Boogie once said, you must be double dead.
Next up, Erivan on Earthen Ring says, what zone would Florida be in WoW?
It's easy. Stranglethorn Vale.
Oh, very nice. I mean, plus you
even
like
have
your
Booty Bay here.
Yeah, and you like your home state of Florida. It's not like you're going to make some crack about it. It's a fine state. It's like,
Everything wants to eat you, and there's a bunch of drunk pirates running around.
There you go. Kittigree on, Chamber of Aspects said, who would win in a fight between Arthas and Kylo Ren?
Arthas.
Just kidding. That's probably true. I don't know.
Because it's like, because Arthas is basically a copy paste of Darth Vader, and Kylo Ren is just a hot topic copy paste of Darth Vader. Yeah.
Wow. It all comes back to big old DV. All right. Next up, Fernass on Sourfang. It's spelled Fernass, so I assume it's not Furnace, but Fernass. Anyway,
Fernass says,
says this, with the Shadowlands delay, will the Jailer and Arthas have enough time to rescue Garrosh to form a singing group called the Three Terrors? What do you think of that?
I hope so.
That is a correct answer. Well done. I also hope so. Final question. Sixth and final comes from Kalefear on Dark Iron. It says, playable Night Elf Wardens or Blood Elf Spellbreakers? Choose one and the other will never happen ever. So know that when you choose one, you can't ever have the other.
I would rather have the Wardens.
I think I would too.
That's some cool classic armor.
I agree.
Got to have the Wardens.
I think that is the correct answer. Now ask your questions of me if you would.
All right, Scott. The Kunkka wants to know, why is it not fun to play short races in WoW?
Short races? I thought he meant, I was thinking like an actual race, like a mini game where you'd race against something. That's so stupid. He means like gnomes and freaking goblins. Okay, why is it no fun? Because they're tiny and dumb and they don't feel cool, so they're dumb. I said it. They're fine for story and having around and talking to an NPCs. I don't want to look at one running around all day. I just don't. Sorry. It's not because I'm 6'3". It's not because I've got heightest problems. Love all the short people in my life. But man.
Now I'm just imagining Gazlo saying, you owe me a 10-second car.
Nice. I am too.
At Misplaced Geek on Twitter asks, what's the best forest on Azeroth?
Silver Pine would be my pick because it's spooky and cool.
Oh, it is spooky. That's a good choice, Scott.
I wouldn't mind a redo of some of the janky trees in there and stuff, but you know, given my 2006 mind really loves that place, and I still do.
It's also October now, so yeah. First off, wake up Billy Joe.
Yeah.
And then second,
yeah,
embrace the spooky forest in Azeroth.
Oh, by the way, I got chewed out yesterday, so I made that joke. Not that joke, but I'm like, all right, you guys, somebody go wake up Billy Joe Armstrong. It's September is ending. You know, ha, ha, ha. It's like a song, wake me up when September ends. And so, you know, it's a joke everybody does. And then some girl yelled at me saying, you're not allowed to make a joke about that. That song was written about his father's death, and I don't think it's fair that you memeify his grief or whatever. And I said, what does Billy Joe say? So I went over to his Twitter account.
He makes jokes about it on Instagram every year.
Constantly. And this year he had one that says, do not wake me up before September ends. Make it sometime in 2021. Like he's having fun with it. So get off your high horses and fight other people's battles that don't exist. All right, go ahead.
If you want to have a fun, deep conversation about the meaning behind lyrics, that's cool too. But also, lead singer himself is making jokes about it. It's fine. It's okay.
Calm yourself. It's okay. All right. Go.
There's no harm. No harm meant. Yeah. Glixington on Twitter asks, what would be in your skull-covered goblet, and why is it pina colada?
Oh, my gosh. Well, since that's the only alcoholic beverage I've ever had, and it was by accident in Mexico, That is the correct answer. It is pina colada.
You accidentally had alcohol in Mexico and it wasn't tequila?
Have I not told you this story? So
no, I don't think you've told me directly, but Scott, as a listener of your podcast since I was 18 years old, yes, I've heard this story.
All right. So I've never drank before in my life, and it got to a point where now there's no, I don't want to drink, not for any other reasons, except now I just got to keep the record going. It's kind of like my puke record. I haven't barfed since 2005. I want to keep that rolling. And so I don't want to drink, and it's not a problem.
Well, it's funny how much those are tied.
I know, but I don't, you know, I was always designated driver when I was younger. My friends are all getting drunk and I'd drive them home and that sort of stuff. They puke in my car. But anyway, it's just a thing with me. So I go to Mexico on a trip in 2015 with my wife, and I asked the guy for a virgin pina colada, please. And he brought me this thing that just tasted so weird, and I didn't know what it was. I'm like, oh, well, that's just how they make them down here. And I just got a little, you know, just kind of a weird taste to it. I said, you should try this. She tastes this. She goes, oh, that's totally got alcohol in it. I'm like, okay, well, now my record's broken because some dude screwed up. That sucks. But now I look at it this way. That wasn't on U.S. soil. That's my international record is broken. My national record holds. Boink. And or the closest I've come to breaking it here was I had some peaches once that I think were a little off.
You know what Scott I mean? Accidentally had prison wine. That's what we learned today on the instance. Also, I love rapid fire questions, long form story time.
Yeah, whoops, that was about as rapid as a long. Oh, sleep.
That's just fantastic. Yeah. At Taz the Man wants to know, which boss would you like to play as in WoW, and then also wanted to proclaim, woo! Quick fire questions are back.
Which boss?
Yeah, if you could play as a boss in World of Warcraft, which boss would you play as?
So any raid, you know, any dungeon.
Answers could include Ragnaros, Arthas, or Michael Scott.
Okay, I get what he's saying. So any boss. I don't know.
Who's fun to play in Heroes of the Storm? That's a boss in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but they all get killed. Like, I guess that's the point, though.
This Shadowlands, man, it don't matter. Everyone is back.
Probably
Ragnaros.
Yeah, Ragnaros is cool. Because he's, even when you beat him, he's cool.
Insects.
And he's just so big. He's just huge. He's so big. And he's so big with the flames and the heat and the whatnot and the big gauntlets. And he's just a badass. So, yeah, I'm going with Ragnaros.
Fester if your Ragnaros lasts for more than 3 hours, consult your major domo.
Oh, very nice. That actually works in Firelands. Exactly right.
At DM Porter 17 asks, Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, or Mario Galaxy?
Galaxy out of those three. Sunshine's a close second. If you're talking about my respect for its groundbreakingness, then 64 stands above maybe all games. Like, that thing is a really important video game and changed not just platformers, but adventure style games, 3D games forever. So it has my full total respect, but which one do I want to sit down and play today? I'd want to play Galaxy again.
It's the dookie American Idiot thing all over again.
Exactly. It's exactly that. Yeah. And I also don't want to catch... But here's the caveat. I don't want to catch the stupid star pieces things that are flowing around. You're supposed to get with a Wiimote, and now you use some other funky way of doing it on the redo. I don't want to do that at all. But I want to play those levels and those puzzles and get those stars, or moons, I guess they are. Are they moons? I think they're moons. That's what I want. Truthfully, though, if you're saying out of all the Mario stuff, which would I want to play again? I'm kind of in the mood for Odyssey again. I really liked Odyssey.
Odyssey is a good game, and I haven't beaten it yet because I just borrowed it from my brother, and then he was getting a mad itch to play it again. And I was like, all right, here you go. So I haven't beaten it yet. Yeah, that game is
good. It's a hell of a game, for sure. Yeah. Sorry, not very rapid fire answer
there. Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
At Jones Y or ZYOZ, I don't know how to pronounce that, asks, and this is a very, very, very hard question to answer, Scott.
But an important one, ready? Clearly.
Yeah. Yes. The magnitude of your answer cannot be understated. Best action movie actor, Arnie or Stallone?
Oh, those are my only two choices.
That's it.
Arnie. Because Stallone is great, too. You know, again, we're little apples and oranges here because they provide different kinds of action. And then there are moments in both of their careers where I'm just like, oh, man, they're the best. But Arnold, I have way more fun watching an old Arnold movie than I do an old Stallone movie.
Give yourself a ding because that is the correct
answer. That is the correct answer, right? Hold on. There we go. I knew it. I knew I was right. Was that number six? I lost count.
That was number six.
That was six.
The final question.
All right, that was our final question.
And I, too, would choose Schwarzenegger every single time.
Every single time. That's what we all should do. Well done, everybody. Now this.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
I talked to him over the weekend. Can't say why.
Chris Metzen, what is your favorite color wash for your Warhammer minis? Because I only have two colors right now, and I'm looking to expand my wash horizons.
He would say all of them, and that would be correct. All right. Quick email here. Theinstance@gmail.com is the email address, as it has been since day one of the show. Theinstance@gmail.com. We got this message from Jindan, who says, "Good day, Scott. Two quick questions. Number one, do you think Blizzard designed the Jailer just so he could be in the next Mortal Kombat game as a guest character?" I like that idea.
Yes.
Like, legitimately like that idea, that he would be either DLC for 11 or in 12. That would be great.
They had a little Blizzard pack, like Arthas walks out and then the Jailer comes out. And yeah. You're just like, oh my God, they're both. I would love to see an overly gory Arthas fatality.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. Are you kidding?
And then the Jailer comes out and they're just like beating the crap out of each other.
Plus he'll do, you know, Arthas, it's already in my head how it'll happen. When they introduce the characters and they come out and do a pithy line, he'll just stand up and then go kind of, and then the slow-mo bullet time of his sword sticking out like he does in his trailer and his
intro. Oh yeah, and some snowflakes hit it and start glowing blue.
What will he say though? What's his quippy line? I don't know.
Sylvanas, I'm sick of your shit.
You were a terrible kisser. They'd be like,
I'm going to put the zero in Sub-Zero.
Take that. All right. Up next in his question, number two, final question. Also, do you think the launch of next-gen consoles in November had an impact on Blizzard moving the Shadowlands launch forward at all? And if so, do you think this will have a negative impact on the quality of the game? Is this why they cannot pull the ripcord? I assume that the game developers like Activision are made aware of console launch early windows. Sorry, launch windows early. So that they can have software ready, but I am not sure what sort of lead time they would have gotten. Other than that, thanks for the great show. Garrett and Patrick and yourself do an awesome job, and I enjoy listening to you each week. Best regards, Jindan. So, Jindan, I don't think it has anything to do with consoles, because it never has in the past. Even the launch of the thing had no impact on the launch of, back then, the PSP or the DS. Obviously, those are handheld, so it's different, but...
Yes, the handheld that set the world on fire, known as the PSP.
Yeah, like, I don't think in any other, and then there are other years you could point to and go, oh, that's the same year the 360 came out and they had an expansion that year. Like, that doesn't play into this mainly or chiefly because the game isn't on those platforms. Now, if you had made some commitment earlier in the year that said, hey, ray-traced, up-resed, cool versions of WoW are coming to new-gen consoles, starting with PS5 and Xbox Series X and S, and you might go, ooh, that sounds cool. But then you're locked into some dates, and then you got a problem. But they didn't do any of that, and they're not going to, from what we can tell. So I don't think it has anything that has zero impact on whether people are playing.
I don't think so either. Like, if anything, Cyberpunk probably held more sway, because, like, and this isn't talking smack, I just don't think there's enticing launch titles on any of the new consoles.
No, there really aren't. I mean, and all I care about right now is Cyberpunk. It's all I want.
Yeah. Like, if anything, I think had the weight to even kind of have this conversation, I think it's Cyberpunk, but I still don't think that had a role. Although I think, honestly, I bet there's some folks at Blizzard like, oh, thank God, I really want to play Cyberpunk.
Yeah. If you're talking about what people internally would like to be spending some time doing, guaranteed that might be the case. But you're more likely to get your other wish about the Jailer hitting Mortal Kombat than you are this other thing having any impact. That's my take.
Yeah. I just don't think it's not a bad thing by any means. I mean, it gives them a little more space to breathe and, you know, let's the game release in a time where it can kind of have more attention to itself. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, if you play WoW, you play WoW. Like, other games don't impact. I don't know, speaking generally here, of course, but I think if you're like a main WoW player, I don't think other games are really impacting your play time, especially if an expansion is in its early days.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Thanks for the email though, Jindan, and send more. And anyone else who hears this, send us more. Theinstance@gmail.com. We love to get them, especially from those who support the show over at theinstance.net. We love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting us and becoming Instance Plus members. There are many benefits you can get if you go just read about it. It's people like Joshua Howitt, Carl Yoder, love that name, Mason Griffith, Nathan Steer, and Sean Barton, just some of the people who are supporters at various levels at theinstance.net. So go read about it, click it, and join up. We'd love it. Brand new month.
Get some swag. Get some bonus episodes.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
That's right. I got cool stuff shipping out here shortly with some artwork that no one knows I did yet. So excited about that. All of that and more at theinstance.net. All right, Garrett, before we go, anything happening in the rest of your world that you'd like to mention before we leave?
Yes, the Angry Chicken marches on with its new effort into the YouTube space. So head on over to youtube.com/amovetv and check out our new fully fledged, like fully edited YouTube videos for the biggest Hearthstone news of the week. We have up now our review of the new Elemental Heroes in Battlegrounds, as well as a separate video reviewing all 20 new Elemental Minions that are in Battlegrounds.
Oh, wow. That's fancy. Go check it out, you guys. What are you doing? Even listen to it. Well, no, go ahead and listen to us and then go do that. But don't worry, we'll be back for more next week and you can have lots more to listen to then. Do check that out, amove.tv, for everything else. For me, there's a lot going on. I would recommend highly people check out this little thing we do once a month. Me and my morning show co-host Brian Ebbett do something we call the Playdate. It's for TMS listeners, but anybody can come. And about an hour from now, we'll kick off that live stream and play a bunch of Jackbox games with you, the community. You'll be in there playing with us and watching, being part of the audience and having some fun. So check that out in a couple hours from now. And for those who are like, wait, when does this happen? Once a month, usually the last week of the month, depends. This week we had to bump it a week, but happens at 2:30 Mountain Time right here on Fridays. And what else? There's always a million things going on. Can't think of them all, so I'll tell you when I think of them. In the meantime, go to theinstance.net and get everything else you might need from us. All our stuff is there, including our Twitter accounts, Garrett Art. I'm at Scott Johnson. Patrick, not Patrick, and the show is at Instance Show. You can find more shows like this and more content at frogpants.com. That'll do it for us, for me, and for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.